If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
What do you expect when you treat someone like that? That they're just going to stay and let you do it longer?
There were some intense moments between you and Sarper on the show. How did you deal with that conflict?
You're acting crazy.
I just said what I want, okay? I just said what I want.
What's something about your relationship that the show did not capture that people would be surprised about?
There are certain situations where they could choose to speak English. Sarper chooses to speak Turkish with them. And, you know, I've repeatedly said, when I'm around, please speak English to them.
Can you explain what that experience is like, traveling long distance with a dog? Would you say that your relationship is real? You guys are still in love? You guys are still working on staying together and making this work? Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. So on today's episode, we have the pleasure of speaking with Shekinah Gardner, a fascinating personality from 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way. This is a huge hit. People are obsessed with it. And tonight is the season finale. As a successful esthetician from Los Angeles with over 23 years of experience, Shekinah has built a thriving career and is founder of her own business, Aesthetics by Shekinah. Raised in an Amish community, she eventually left that behind, finding her path in the world of skincare and beauty. Shekinah's personal life is just as intriguing, from raising her 16-year-old daughter, Sophie, to navigating a complicated and captivating relationship with her Turkish boyfriend, Sarper, with which you see play out on the show. Today, we will dive into the story behind her journey, her experiences on the show, and what it's like to bridge the cultural gap in an international relationship. We'll get an insider look at the real Shekinah beyond the cameras, the glamour, and the challenges, and discover what drives her passion both in her career and her personal life. Join us for a candid conversation with Shekinah Gardner. Shekinah, thank you so much for joining me on Misunderstood. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So I've been catching up on your show. I find you fascinating and I have a zillion questions for you. So I'm going to jump right into them, okay?
Okay, let's go.
So are you originally from LA or is that just where you kind of resided when this whole thing started?
I grew up in Tennessee until I was 16 years old, and then my family moved to Montana so that my sister and I could go to a wilderness survival boarding school, and then I moved to Los Angeles about 14 years ago.
Wait, what wilderness survival? Tell me about that for a second. What was that all about?
My parents raised us very conservative. We were raised in Tennessee in the Amish lifestyle. When we moved to Montana, they wanted to kind of preserve that very like pure, wholesome, off the grid type of life. But they were taking a little bit of a departure from the Amish lifestyle, but still keeping certain elements of it. So they enrolled us in this really primitive wilderness survival boarding school.
How long were you there?
I was there for about a year. I got expelled for having a boyfriend. It was definitely against the rules to have a boyfriend. I don't know if you saw in the show, but I had a 143-page love letter from a boyfriend. It was that boyfriend. So we weren't allowed to really talk in person, and they really kept us separated. So we only had our letter writing really to communicate. So, so we would hide our letters under rocks in the woods, and it was
I mean, that's so kind weird, of romantic, but I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I was born in Anchorage, Alaska, and I moved to New York City when I was 5, and my mother sent me to one of those types of boarding schools in Running Springs, California. I was there and graduated. I went from when I was 13 to almost 17. I graduated from the program, but it was a wilderness program like that, where it was really hard. And I know what you mean. You're not allowed to have relationships there.
No.
Get in a lot of trouble. And it's so funny because I didn't actually put two and two together. I'm curious about that long letter that he wrote you. Was it starting and stopping? Like, was it, you know, I wrote this on Monday, then Tuesday. Was he writing you a letter every day for 140 whatever days, or it was one consecutive letter?
That's a good question. I wish I could ask him that, because, you know, there's not like multiple dates in the letter. It just like has one date on it. But I would think that it took him several days to write that.
Right. Yeah. Do you still communicate with him?
No, he's married, and I haven't seen him in, I think, like 24 years.
I'm curious if he watched the episode and knows that it's his letter.
You know what? I follow some of his sisters on Instagram, and I sent a DM to one of them after that episode aired. And I said, I wonder if your brother knows that the letter that you wrote was just on TV.
And did she respond?
She was like, oh my God, let me ask him. I know he doesn't really watch much TV. And I don't know if she ended up asking him, but I just thought it would be so funny if he found that out.
Right. Oh my God. Well, maybe his wife didn't think it was funny. So,
yeah, exactly.
So they didn't want to get into it. Okay. All right. So your past is really interesting to me. All right. I want to find out tell me about how you got yourself to Turkey. I know that you met your current partner, who you're on the show with, Semper, from being in Turkey and meeting on a dating app when you were there. Am I correct about that?
Yes, that's right.
So were you just visiting Turkey for a few weeks, days? Tell me what happened.
My best friend at the time was actually transitioning male to female and wanted a hair transplant surgery. And she was planning to go to Turkey alone, and I just didn't feel good about it. And I said, let me go with you. I'll book a flight. I'll help take care of you. I'd never been to Turkey before. I'd never thought of going to Turkey before. And so I did. I went with her. I just didn't realize that we were going to be in the hotel room after her surgery for like a good week. And it was so boring. I was just trapped in this hotel room. She couldn't do anything. And I wasn't seeing the city. And so I was like, you know, I didn't know anyone there. So I thought, let me download a dating app and maybe go on a date, and somebody local can show me some of the hot spots around the city. So I matched with Sarpa right away. But unfortunately, it was towards the end of my trip. So we went on a date, and it was amazing. And we planned to see each other again the next night. And so we did. And then the following morning, I flew out. So we only had this very short, you know, amount of time together, those two dates. But we stayed in touch. And then I flew back to Turkey a month. I think it was like a little over a month later to spend a week with him.
So at what point did you guys contact the show? Like, how did we come to have you in our lives?
So I'm an esthetician in Los Angeles, and being here in LA, I do have a lot of industry people that are clients of mine. And one of my clients was a casting director, and she's a producer actually. And she was having a facial, and I was telling her about Sarper, and she was saying, oh my God, this is so 90 Day Fiance. If I were you, you know, you need to submit for the show. if I was in casting, I would definitely cast you guys. And it just planted the seed. So later I like Google searched how to submit for the show. And there was an email address. So I just sent an email. I think there was like a paragraph that I wrote about how I met Sarper and that we were still communicating, but we'd only had two dates. But on the first date, we'd taken a photo together. So I included that photo and we went through the casting process and we got cast very quickly. So
before
you know it, we were getting to know each other on camera.
Right. Okay. So that's what my next question was. So in between the getting cast on the show and the reality of where your relationship was, can you explain to our listeners where you guys were listening? How long were you actually dating at that point? And what were your feelings for each other at that point?
So when we started filming, we had only spent a week together and, you know, those two dates, which were only, you know, a few hours each. So we hadn't spent very much time together. We'd been texting a little bit, you know, through WhatsApp, but Sarper really wanted to keep all of the more important questions for in person. So we couldn't uncover a lot of deeper issues over that length of time. So we had to attack them right away when we were finally in person. And I mean, you saw that happen on camera because, you know, I needed to tell him I'm not going to date a guy that's not going to show on social media that he's with someone, especially someone with his background. So, right. You know, some of those bigger things came out sooner than they probably would in normal relationships. But when you're long distance, the dynamic is kind of different. You know, You do have to talk about those things earlier.
So what initially attracted you to him that made you think, oh, this is kind of fun. I will stop dating anyone else I'm thinking of dating and I will actually go on a show with this guy.
Yeah. Well, it was mainly on our first date. When we agreed to meet up that night, he sent me a list of things to think of before I left. He said, send a photo of my passport to two of your friends. Make sure your phone is fully charged. You know, he was just so overly kind of protective and making sure I was doing this in a safe way. Cause he was like, this is kind of crazy. Like you don't live in Turkey. You're meeting with a Turkish guy you've never met before. I think he was afraid that if it would have been somebody else, I could have been in a bad situation. And he wanted to make sure I felt really safe. So that impressed me a lot. And he was such a gentleman on the date. I mean, my credit card wasn't working with the taxi. It was such an ordeal and he swooped in and helped me out and he was just so sweet and charming, very charming. I mean, I could tell right away he was definitely a little bit of a player. I was like, he does this all the time. He literally goes on dates all the time and says these things and does these things all the time. But I mean, I knew what I was getting into and I felt like there was a special connection that we had, which made me want to keep talking to him.
Right. So a lot of people have been asking me since that ridiculous post I made of me doing the Titanic challenge about how I stay fit in my body. I really appreciate those comments, but you know, it's a work in progress. But I will tell you something that I have found that I absolutely love, and I feel like it helps me with muscle recovery, it helps me with energy, it helps me get to the gym. So I just wanna share it with you. Okay, I take these every day. It's called Bison Trifecta. There's another one that's Bison Heart, if you don't like the whole thing, but I like all three of them together. It is heart, liver, and kidney blend of bison. I know that sounds kind of terrible. It's not. I take 6 a day. Normally, like 3 o'clock would roll around and I feel like I can't do anything and I just wanna go to sleep or take a nap. So let me just say, I'm gonna take 6 right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is what it looks like. They don't have any aftertaste. They don't taste bad. I feel like I'm getting my protein in. I don't even know if that's a thing. They're super small. Now I'm going to the gym. Actually, that's not true. I'm going to play tennis. I was going to say I'm going to the gym. Nah, I'm going to go play tennis instead of taking a nap. Thanks, Bison Trifecta. Get it at Holistic Goddess. I'll send you a code, 15% off. Mwah. So as a viewer watching you guys on the show, it seems like, you know, you did the back and forth a little bit and then decided that it was hard enough that you wanted to just pick up and move. I've been to Turkey a couple of times. I love Turkey. It's a very hard place to live though, and much different than LA or Montana or even New York for that matter. So what made you, I mean, honestly, was it more for the show? Like, okay, let's just try it. And if the show wasn't following you, you might be like, no, this is crazy. Or really what made you try it?
I think that the distance was just so hard. Neither of us are very long distance relationship type people. We don't like being on the phone. He's not a big texter. You know, we just really need to feel that in-person connection. And we tried to do the back and forth a little bit, and it was too hard. So I thought I need to move there.
Were you feeling like you were in love with him?
Yeah, definitely. I was definitely in love with Sarper. He hadn't been in a serious relationship before. So a lot of the feelings that he was having were foreign to him. So it was really like endearing, sweet, also frustrating at times to help guide him through those feelings.
Yeah.
But,
you know, it's so funny, like as a viewer that hasn't followed your show before, I thought it was fascinating. I thought it was humorous, actually, to see the difference in your experience in past relationships, mm-hmm. you know, and then to see, I mean, when you were showing his bed and it was quite used, and he's clearly a guy who has gone through women very quickly and swiftly. And it was funny. It wasn't, you know, there are some times where you're like, ew, that's gross. That's obnoxious. It kind of was funny. You know what I mean? Like, clearly he's a guy who's allowed to do whatever he's allowed to do. It wasn't a big deal. But then seeing you get off the plane with your dog and how he started to cry actually made me tear up. I was like, that is really genuine and sweet. What was that, a genuine moment?
Totally. Oh my gosh. It was. And when I was hugging him, something that you couldn't see on camera is he was like, you know, when you're really crying, but you're trying to hold it in and you're like shaking, he was like shaking, and it was so sincere and real. And I was just like, I'm not a big crier, and a lot of people thought it was really like cold of me to not start crying too, but he was falling apart and I felt like somebody had to keep it together. So it made me like stronger in the moment because I felt like I needed to be for him, but it was such a touching moment. He was super stressed out about Adonis arriving. Okay. So when he saw Adonis, he was just like, that was the first moment he realized Adonis is okay. And then also we hadn't seen each other in a very long time. That was the longest time that we'd spent apart. So it was a very touching moment.
I was confused about that. So had he never met Adonis before? Or
No, because Sarper couldn't come to the U.S. So
got it. So you had only gone never back. Been,
correct, yeah.
Got it. Okay, yep. So that makes sense. And I actually want to talk about the dogs traveling like that, because we talked about this off camera for a second. I'm a huge dog person, as a lot of my listeners know. You clearly are. So watching that episode, I was very nervous for Adonis. I was like, no, please tell me she's not putting the dog under in cargo. Yeah. And then it just made me so nervous waiting for you to come out and make sure the dog was okay. Can you explain what that experience is like, traveling long distance with the dog?
Yeah, of course. So, you know, when I went to Turkey on that trip, I knew I wasn't going to be staying there permanently. I had to come back to see my daughter again. She's in boarding school. She was going to have a week-long break in a few weeks. I have another dog in LA. I have a business in LA. So there was still going to be a back and forth, but I was going to be, you know, living in Turkey part-time. And I thought, I want Adonis there to be with Sarper when I'm not there. He's completely alone. His cat had died shortly after I met him. He was just totally alone, you know? And I thought, let me share the biggest joy in my life with him. He'd never had a dog before, which I think everyone needs to like know what it's like to have a dog at some point 100%. In their life.
Yeah.
And he was always a cat person. So I wanted to take Adonis. I really went through a huge process to find out what that would entail, how traumatic that would be for him. The vet didn't want him to have any sedatives, because when you're up that high, the heart rate lowers on the sedatives, and then the pressure of the cabin, animals can, you know, suffer serious physical conditions from that. So he just told me, give him Xanax before the trip and he'll be fine. And you take one too, and you'll both be fine. And so we did, we both took a Xanax. And also I would like to say that Adonis was not in cargo. They don't put animals in cargo. That's so inhumane. He was in a special pressurized cabin for animals. Got it. I wouldn't have taken him if that wasn't the case.
Right. And when you first saw him before we see you on camera.
Yes. I wish you could have seen
was
that.
Was he fine? Did he look
terrified,
or he was fine?
Yeah. So I don't know if you're familiar with bully sticks, but they're these big like chew sticks that are kind of hard to get through. It's one of the only chew toys that I can give him that takes him a while to get through. And I put one in his crate before he boarded the flight. And I thought, if this is chewed up or gone, when he arrives, he was fine because he won't chew on toys or bones or anything if he's stressed. Mm. And when I met him after the flight, it was like there was like this much left. He'd been chewing on it the whole time. And so that made me so relieved. It was just a sign to me. Yeah, it was a sign that he was okay.
Yeah.
So, and he was running around, you know, they had him out of the crate. He was running around in the back room with everyone was playing with him. And he's a golden doodle. He loves everyone.
Yeah. Okay, good. I love hearing
that. Yes.
All right. So another thing I want to talk to you about, you get back to his house. I was a little disappointed in him that he didn't completely redo his house for you, but that's a whole nother thing. You get there, you see that the bottle selection is still there. Is that what you call it? What the thing with the bottle?
Yeah, his bottle collection. Yeah. I don't know. It's like some trophy cabinet.
Yeah. And I guess that's him, you know, just holding on to the past a little bit, but that clearly was an issue the first night you were there. Talk to me about your experience the first night you were in Turkey and then kind of how it developed for you.
Well, a lot of people wondered why I had never seen his bed before. You know, we had two dates. The second date was at his house. And they were like, how is she just seeing this bed for the first time? Mm-hmm. But I'd never been in his bed before then, because on our second date, we were just sitting out in the living room. He was sick. I was, you know, he was having soup. We were just, you know, sitting in the living room. We weren't trying to hook up in the bedroom. If I would have seen that, I don't know. My feelings may have changed for him at that point in the relationship. But he's just such a guy. Like, he doesn't notice things like that. And he's just like, what's the problem? You know, he was so used to seeing it, he didn't understand. But for someone on the outside coming and seeing it for the first time, it's shocking.
Right.
And it really was disturbing kind of for me, because the state of that bed, I mean, I felt like fungus would be like growing out of it, you know, it was deteriorating, it was rotting. So, yeah. And then it took a lot of time for him to come around to agreeing to get a new bed. So that was difficult.
Right. What has it been like living in Turkey? Where exactly in Turkey are you guys?
He lives right in Istanbul. So it's in this community called Ataşehir, which is a really nice area. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things you can walk to, but living there did feel very isolating because I don't speak the language and mm-hmm. I couldn't drive. And, you know, it's difficult.
I mean, Istanbul is a lot different than one of the outskirts or the inner parts, sorry, where, I mean, I know that when
Turkey.
I went there, I was very blonde at the time and I was told to like keep my hair up and cover it. It was many years ago, but how was it for you living there?
I think that Istanbul is a lot more modern now. Yeah. I mean, you see a lot of women, you know, in shorter skirts and, you know, they're not covered up. And so, you know, it wasn't so difficult. I mean, Sarper isn't Muslim, but he is more conservative. So he did want, you know, me to show less cleavage, you know, wear longer skirts. And that was okay for me. I mean, I grew up so conservative that it wasn't like a far stretch from what I was used to. So it was fine for me. And I wanted to be respectful too in his country, especially like around his family. Mm. So that was fine. I mean, I didn't have a problem with it. The hardest thing is just, you know, having people to talk to. I could only really communicate with him. His family doesn't really speak English. He has one cousin that does, but yeah, that was difficult.
So what's that like? I mean, I've actually moved for somebody before in my life.
Oh.
And I ended up not working because it was terrible. It was isolating. I couldn't have the job that I was used to having. I didn't have, for me, without that job, I almost felt like my credibility was gone and I just became mm-hmm. someone's girlfriend. And that to me was terrible because they spoke a different language than me as well. And then everybody would speak that language and not, even though they did speak English a little bit, they would choose not to. And then I started, it really affected my self-esteem and I had to eventually, I mean, it made our relationship blow up where we came from a relationship that we never fought at the beginning. And that I think ultimately destroyed us. How did it work? How has it worked for you?
It's very similar, actually. There are certain situations where they could choose to speak English, especially with some of the Turkish crew for the show, and Sarper chooses to speak Turkish with them. And, you know, I've repeatedly said, when I'm around, these people speak English, like, please speak English to them so that I can know what's being talked about. Even if you're not talking to me, like, I want to feel like I'm part of the room, you know, even because it can feel like you're not even there. It's like a weird situation when everyone's speaking a different language and they're not acknowledging your presence or making you a part of the conversation. You almost feel like you're not there. Right. You know, and that's not a good feeling. So, yeah, there's a lot of that where I just constantly am reminding him, please include me in this. When you can speak English, please do. And then the translation part is he doesn't like to translate. So it's like when we're with his family, I'll check in every, you know, 5 minutes or so. What are you guys talking about? What are you guys talking about now? And he's like, don't worry, don't worry. You know, and it's like,
but I hate that for you because that makes you seem like, you know, people just think you're dumb because you have nothing to say because you can't be involved in the conversation. And that's like a terrible place to be in, you know?
I agree. I felt like it was harder for his family to really get to know me because of that communication. You know, I can't.
And then they only judge you. They judge you on like your body language too, or like the way your face looks if you're interacting with him, or because they can't really see your personality.
Exactly. It's very difficult to get to know someone that way. Yeah.
That's hard. Okay. So there were some intense moments between you and Sarper on the show. How did you deal with that conflict? And like, did you feel like you had to stay in conversations or situations longer because this has become, I mean, let's be honest, working on a show like this, you get a paycheck for it. So it's kind of like when you are without a paycheck being somewhere, you kind of stay in things longer than you may have, or was this just exactly how your relationship would have panned out and you were just getting it on camera?
The monetary part of it doesn't change if you're, you know, breaking up or in a fight. That just becomes your story and filming continues. So, and we don't get paid like per day or scene or anything like that. So it's a little bit
good.
Different.
So they want it to transpire the way it's going to happen.
Yeah. They don't direct things in a way that they don't have anything planned for you. They see what really unfolds. And in those situations, I think that I really stayed aware of the fact that this was Sarper's first time dealing with a lot of those issues because it was his first real relationship and he's like mid 40s, you know, and so he's got this adult mind, but also this very childlike approach to the situation because it's his first time. He has no experience. So I had to keep that in mind. It kept me from getting really like heated in those situations and overly expressive. I was just trying to remain cool. Also, Sarper, he is a hot temper. So I was always trying not to trigger that and just remain calm. And I've learned to stay in my power by doing so also. So a lot of the time you'll see that I'm not highly reactive and it's just because I'm processing things. And I'm also, you know, very aware of the fact that he doesn't fully understand what's going on in the moment or know how to deal with it. So it's been a learning curve for him and me too sometimes.
Right, right. Sarper's strong opinions, such as your cosmetics procedures, have raised eyebrows among some viewers. How do you maintain wanting to do something that goes within his guidelines and then stay true to what you want to be doing?
Well, I mean, I just do what I want to do regardless of anyone else's opinion, especially when it comes to my physical appearance. So I let Sarper know that my nose was something that I had an insecurity about and I wanted to address. I tried twice in the States and it wasn't a successful outcome. And Turkey is known for their really great rhinoplasty surgeons. Mm-hmm. And I'd been following one for years, like before I ever even met Sarper. And I really wanted to go forward with the procedure, especially since I was already there. And he was against it. Like he really didn't want anything about me to change. And he had a fear that it would like be worse somehow if I did this. But then when he got on board with it, he was like, well, if you're going to do this, you know, I want to help because clearly you didn't have success with it when you didn't have my help the other two times. So that's when he, you know, got out his drawing pen and started marking up my nose and like feeling like he was directing the procedure.
Got it.
So it made him feel more comfortable.
Right. Okay. A couple fans are curious. I ask questions of people beforehand. The biggest question was, what's something about your relationship that the show did not capture that people would be surprised about?
I think people would be surprised at how like chill we really are. Like we go about our daily routines together, just like mirror images of each other. We're always wanting to do the same thing at the same time. We're very peaceful. We actually really thrive in a peaceful environment. We don't have a lot of conflict. And, you know, we actually get along really great. So the moments that you see on TV are those, you know, those more heated moments, but they're few and far between, but they're just tiny moments in the grand scheme of like our life. So yeah, I wish that people could keep in mind that that's not the entirety of our relationship. You know, we actually have the best time together and we're very well matched, I think.
So for people that do watch, would you say that your relationship is real? You guys are still in love. You guys are still working on staying together and making this work.
I mean, I can't comment on where our relationship status currently is at, but I would encourage you to keep watching the rest of the season.
Okay. Looking ahead, can you give us a couple future plans with or without Sarper, personally, professionally? You know, I know you can't talk about whether or not you're still in Turkey, not in Turkey, but anything you can talk about that people can look forward to from you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm still seeing my daughter just as much. That's one thing that really hurt me from the show is a lot of people thought that I had just, you know, picked up and moved away and put my daughter in boarding school to be with Sarper. She'd already been in school for 2 years before I met him. She'd already been in boarding school. So even while I was in Turkey, I was still seeing her just as much as I do when I'm in LA. So that has not changed at all. I've maintained my business in Los Angeles. I'm going through some big changes with that. But yeah, I'm trying to think of what I can tell you that isn't a spoiler.
Well, do you want to have kids? Do you want to have more kids? You have
more? No. I've definitely stayed firm on, my stand of not wanting to have more children. Yeah. And actually with Sarper living with Adonis, it was really good because he realized what kind of responsibility, you know, he has to have as a dog dad. You know, he has to take him out 3 times a day. He has to make sure he has food and water. And that was a lot for Sarper. He was like, this is really demanding of me. And I'm like, you have no idea how much more intense that is when you have a child. This is a dog. Like they can't even complain to you. And it kind of has changed his viewpoint on whether or not he wants to have a child, which is such a relief to me. So I'm glad Adonis helped with that.
Right. Yeah. If people are in LA, are you still doing your esthetician stuff? Can they find you? Can they work with you?
Yes.
How would they reach you?
Absolutely. I just made a big move. So my facial studio just moved into a gorgeous new salon suite that was just built out, and they can reach me through Instagram. Just DM me on my professional account, and I am taking clients. Yes.
Amazing. Okay, great. So let people know if they're listening or watching where they can find you on Instagram.
You can find me at Aesthetics by Shekinah. It's with an A. So Aesthetics by Shekinah, that's my professional account. My personal account where you'll see pictures of Sarper and little glimpses into our relationship is at Shekinah.Garner. I am pretty interactive with my following. I feel like I respond to most comments and DMs if they're nice. I take new clients. I love to meet fans. I've had people fly in from different states for facials. And I love that. I think it's so fun to meet people from all over who watch the show.
Absolutely. Okay. 90 Day Fiance, The Other Way is still on for another couple episodes, right? When is the finale? Do you know?
I don't know the date of it. I think that we have like four or five.
I think somewhere into November. Amazing. So if you guys you're listening and you have not caught up on everything, please do. You have some time. Yeah. But we appreciate you being here and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.